I'm happy now to welcome Rand Marco. He is the community relations
specialist.
I was going to say dude. with the Solid Waste Division for the city of Santa Fe. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's been a long time since we've had you on the air talking about recycling and trash and the landfill. How are we as a city of environmentally conscious people doing in the realm of recycling?
Well, as a city, we're pretty low on the totem pole, not just in the country, but in New Mexico, and we want to change all that.
How much do we recycle of the things we could recycle?
10% is what we recycle in Santa Fe.
So 90% of the recyclable stuff is going to the trash?
Is going to the landfill, yes.
That's so wrong.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I mean, if you saw what I see on a daily basis, you just want to maybe scream a little bit and say, why aren't we doing that? And I think one of the things that we need to do is, and what we're doing now through our Save a Ton program, which we'll probably talk about a little, is that we're bringing an awareness back to the city that cares.
What are we doing well so far? Are we recycling at least our beer bottles and stuff like that?
Well, not especially the beer bottles or the beer cans, but let me give you an example. If you drive down any street in Santa Fe during garbage day, Monday through Friday, let's say you'll see five or six people recycling instead of 20 or 30, and that's what we want to start focusing on, is the 20 or 30 that aren't doing it, and we want to encourage the people that are doing it to look and see what they're doing and throwing away, which may be recyclable.
What is recyclable and what is not recyclable? I know that plastics numbers 1 and 2, in theory, are recyclable, but then when you put your yogurt container in, they don't want it.
No.
Which is a plastic 1 or 2.
Well, look at the yogurt container next time you see it. It might be a 3 to a 7. And we don't have the capability in Santa Fe to recycle 3 through 7. We just have the capability to do 1s and 2s. And you have to remember, with a neck.
So
very
why
important.
Is that?
It's the quality of the plastic that we're looking at. And that's why we can't use it here. We don't have a market for that coming out of Santa Fe. But we do for number 1s and 2s with necks.
So what should people do? Here we are on the radio. People are listening. They're driving to work. Maybe it's garbage day for their neighborhood. What should they do in the coming weeks?
The best thing they can do in the coming weeks
is
go online to the city's website, santafenm.gov/recycling, and you'll get a chart on everything we do and do not do and everything we take and do not take. And from that, you'll get a much better idea of what is recyclable within your household or within your business. And that'll probably double the amount that you're putting out at the street and take it out of the trash. Because our sole goal is to double the amount and take it out of the trash. If you're a business, you look at your waste stream going in, you know, starting at the dumpster where your garbage is, and work backwards to see where it's coming from and who's bringing it out there. So those can be taken usually to a receptacle that's right next to the dumpster. So instead of that employee throwing it in the dumpster, they're putting it in the recycling area, whether it's cardboard, plastic 1 and 2, newspaper, white paper, mixed paper, aluminum, tin. And when we get a tin can, let's say, that's from food, whether it's from the household or from the business, a hotel or whatever, restaurant, it needs to be rinsed out or wiped out. We don't want the food leftovers in the can, because that contaminates the whole load that our drivers had been picking up. So we don't want that at all. We don't want people putting their glass in the aluminum, tin, plastic, and paper, because that contaminates our load. And it doesn't take a lot to contaminate a load. You know, we don't want the cardboard with all sorts of foodstuffs on it, because that contaminates a pure load.
No pizza boxes.
No, we want the cardboard that looks like it has that honeycomb on it.
Yeah, the corrugated.
The corrugated cardboard.
As opposed to the six-pack cardboard.
The six-pack cardboard, the cereal boxes.
No, you can't do this.
No. Any other types that are similar to that.
Now, the campaign is called Save a Ton, and the idea is to double what Santa Feans are recycling within the next year. That still won't bring us up to the national recycling average.
No, but that's a great start, because if we can double, we've done a great job in this city. And I think we can, as Santa Feans, get to that point. So if people go to greenlinesantafe.com, they'll be able to see the Save a Ton program. You can also go to facebook.com/saveaton. You can go to twitter.com/saveaton. You can also go to the santafenm.gov/recycling and see what's going on. So this will be an ongoing year project, not with all these dot-coms as well as the cities and within the newspaper of the New Mexican. And the New Mexican every month will be highlighting different industries in our town. Like next month will be media, and coming in April it will be schools. And then there'll be hotel industry and the restaurants and the arts during the, you know, different times of the year. So we'll be highlighting those industries in the newspaper and on the websites. And if people want to Facebook us, right now I think we're over a couple hundred people liking the site.
Right, fans.
It's fans. We always like fans to like sites, you know. But if they want to put up a picture of good recycling or even bad recycling so we can know that makes some changes, send those to the Facebook page.
Let's say somebody contaminates a load of recycling by putting crusty old tomato soup cans unrinsed in their recycling. What happens to the load that comes by the truck that comes early in the morning?
That's a great question. This is a problem that happens quite often. When our drivers come by and they look into your recycling and they say, you have done the right thing with the aluminum, with the paper and the glass, but the tin that's now mixed into the aluminum has tomato sauce in it. Well, what they're going to do is leave that whole container, put a sticker on that you should clean that out or take the glass out, whatever the problem was. They're going to check a little box, and they'll come back the next week and they'll service the container. We don't want to take contaminated loads at all because, you know.
So you have some very vigilant dudes over there looking into each container.
Well, they're dumping thousands of containers every day, and they see it right away what's happening. If the owner's there, they may say something to the owner, but usually the owners aren't around. And they'll tag the thing, and then they'll go. And then they'll actually let us know in the office in case the owner calls in upset. We want to let the owner know what was going on. And we just don't do it for the homeowners. We do it for the businesses. Let's say there was contamination in a cardboard container from one of the businesses, and we didn't pick it up. So we call them to let them know what they're doing, and then we'll go back and pick it up.
That's really heavy-duty customer service, I must say.
Well, we're trying to be more, you know, vigilant with the customers and you know, find out what the issues are right away so we can solve the issues right away. And that's important to what we do.
So people need to basically, you know, I'm imagining that there's a kind of laziness that sets in, like it's just easier to throw out your cardboard than to take an X-Acto knife, and which I have one, by the front door and cut the stuff up and tie it up in a string, or to do that. But when you think about it, it really doesn't take very long.
Oh, no.
And what people need to know to motivate them is, okay, it doesn't take very long, but it's still kind of a pain in the neck. What are the advantages to Santa Fe, to the environment, to them, of actually taking the few minutes to do it?
We're talking about just cardboard only, and cardboard is one of the biggest obstacles, not just for the homes, but for all the businesses, because every business has lots and lots of cardboard coming in on a basis almost every other day, or depending on the business. And when people have their cardboard all spread out over the place, we don't want to take it that way because we can't handle it that way. The trucks can't handle it that way. So we encourage them to, and what I would suggest as well as encouraging, is to have them, you know, pile it up during the week and then go ahead and bundle it and make it easier for us to do our job. If they make it difficult for us to do our job, again, we'll tag it and let them know what they're doing wrong so they can do it right.
But what is the motivation? How is it going to make the world a better place?
Well, we're going to recycle that cardboard, and we're going to bring it back as other things. You know, more cardboard, most likely. It could be gone into paper products. So the whole idea of the recycling is not to go into the natural resources anymore, cutting down the trees, using up the water, using up manpower, you know, which is very costly on that end, and going and getting the used material, the recycled material, and reusing it and bringing it back. I'll give you an example. To make one tin can, one aluminum can. If you recycle one aluminum can, it's saving thousands of hours of electricity in a house, because the process of getting aluminum out of the ground is very costly. But to take all those aluminum cans, melt them down, and bring them back is not very costly compared to the getting the raw materials out of the ground. And that's what we want to avoid in that respect.
And aluminum, I have to say, is one of the most recyclable materials ever. You can keep making cans into more cans, and
right.
You don't have to go down a level.
Well, and the same is true for glass, because glass is what? Sand, basically.
Yeah.
So you just keep recycling and recycling and recycling, you know, with the glass. With paper, it's a little different story, because the fibers tend to, let's say, get beat up in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're really, if you look into the corrugated cardboard, you'll see little hairs in the corrugated cardboard. And if you look into your cereal boxes, there's actually clay and glue in the cereal boxes with very little of that good fiber in there. So that's what we don't want. We want the really good fibers so we can recycle that more and more and more.
Why are recycled paper products more expensive than the stuff that comes from cutting down trees in the Arctic forest, which is going to eventually release all its methane and make us all into
which
toast.
It probably already is, yeah. Well, the only thing I can say is that when you have recycled material, there's a certain cost to it. And as the more is done, and I've seen this happen over the years, the costs start coming down.
The more people recycle.
The more people, if people were recycling, you know, you have a little home office, you have white paper in there, you have your junk mail in there, magazines, newspaper, all that can be recycled. So the more of that we get, the less cost it's going to be.
Junk mail, that's something I wanted to ask about. On the old little recycling magnet that I used to have on my refrigerator, you couldn't put paper and junk mail in. Now you can.
Now you can.
And what about the plastic windows and stuff like that?
You can use the plastic windows, too.
You can put that on?
Because what we have at the transfer station is this giant separating machine that separates all these types of things and bales them up into these giant 5 foot by 5 foot by 5 foot cubes. And then those cubes get hauled off to market. But the separator, they throw in aluminum, tin, plastic, and mixed paper, and they do something with the machinery, and they only come out with the tin. And then they run it through again, and they only come out with the plastic. And then they run it again, and they come out with a number, you know, in paper products. Or they'll run nothing but white paper through. I mean, I'll give you an example.
And it'll take out your yellow paper?
Well, no, they'll run colored, you know, paper through as a bunch. But as far as white paper goes, I worked with the state, you know, really good people at the state, about looking at every building they have and what's going on in every building and what needs to change. You know, it was a mandate from the governor. And what happened was we started pulling out 7 to 7.5 tons of white paper only every week, and they reduced their trash by 60%. And we started taking all their cardboard away, which reduced the trash even more, you see. So that was well documented. So the state guys know how to document that way. And we found it was a lot, like 62 or 63% less going into the landfill. You know, and it cut back their, you know, this is another benefit to businesses, is you recycle really well and watch your trash, it'll save you money.
Will it?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you actually fix that? So a person who's not recycling anything will end up getting a higher bill than a person who recycles everything they can?
Oh, absolutely. Let's say somebody has a dumpster and it's going 3 or 4 days a week and they're not recycling anything. So I'd come in and help them do a little audit, you know, where their trash and recycling. And let's say we can pull out 80% of what they're doing is now recycling. So that bill should be able to be cut in half or more.
And that actually happens.
That actually happens. So right now I'm working with a gal at the school system here in Santa Fe, where we're looking at that for every school on every case. And there's volunteers within the schools, and they're helping us out to watch where it's coming from and where it's going to. And what we're finding out is they have like 60% cardboard and another 30% recycling, because all the kids are drinking and the cafeteria is doing with the tin and the plastic and the glass and everything. And we're now starting to discontinue certain trash pickups and doing a lot more recycling, which is saving them money in every single situation. So it does work.
Randall Marco is does community relations with the Solid Waste Division here in the city of Santa Fe. So you're working with schools, with government offices, with businesses, with individuals, basically educating people, as you're doing now on the radio, about recycling.
Yes.
And the goal is to cut our garbage in half, double our recycling. Is that how it works?
Well, that's how ideally we would like it to work. I think we can do it. I mean, I think we can double our recycling efforts in the city. It may be below the average of the cities that are coming up, but not by much. And then the next year after that, look at it again and see what we're doing.
What's the motivation for individuals? As you mentioned, businesses can actually reduce the cost of having garbage taken away by recycling. What about houses?
Well, the houses right now, every household pays $12.58. You'll see that on your bill. Right? So the money incentive isn't there more than the incentive that this is what should be done, because this is what we really need to do to create a different awareness, to be environmentally sound within our city.
It's just called doing the right thing.
It's doing the right thing. So what does it cost you to do? It doesn't cost you any more or less, and maybe it costs you 5 more minutes of your time a week. So
the Santa Fe recycling facility, state of the art, has these separators that are straight off of Star Trek and their ability to to do cool things.
Which they do. It's really amazing.
But what happens then? Okay, so you've got a stack, gigantic, unfathomable stack of white paper. Then you've got a different stack of cardboard. You've got a different heap of glass, a different heap of aluminum. What happens to it all? Where does it go?
Well, have you ever seen it run through the separator and what comes out on the other end?
No, we will have to take a field trip.
Well, I'm glad to, you know, make a field trip with you up to the transfer station. But what we do is we, as these things get bundled, and the Save a Ton program will be on a trailer that banners will save a ton, and I'll probably be the one driving it around. So wave if you see me, please, and give me breaking room.
He's the handsome guy with the graying head of hair.
Yes, that's it. Thank you. But, they go to market where we sell the white paper at about $150 a ton.
Who wants this stuff?
Well, the different mills want it. And what they do is they process it out, and they bring it back. And I'll give you an example. The Santa Fe, New Mexico, that has 100% recycled paper, when you get a paper in the morning and you read the paper and then you put it in the recycling, and on your day of service, the recycling guys come and pick it up, and it goes to the transfer, and it gets bundled up, and it goes to the mill, and it gets reprocessed. That process takes about 30 days to where you get that paper back on your doorstep. So that's an ongoing process that's happening. Huh.
So we no longer will have to call the paper edition of the New Mexico the dead tree edition.
No, let's not call it that anymore. Because it's really not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really big misnomer. Yeah. And it's also a misnomer that our guys throw out trash. I mean, they throw out trash. They throw out recycling, but they don't. If the load's constantly contaminated, we're going to throw it away so you can do it the right way the next time. You know, we get a lot of people like that, but you know, those are misnomers that we'd like to correct and let people know we don't do that. We want the recycling. If they went to the transfer station, I'd love to take you up there and show you. We have mountains, and we have hundreds of these giant cubes that could be aluminum or tin or plastic or cardboard, and it's a huge production that's going on up there. I mean, the guys up there are doing a great job.
And I would like to make the offer right now. The first person who emails me at radiocafe@ksfr.org who genuinely and sincerely would like to go with me to the transfer station to see all these separators. We are going to have a field trip. So some listener, if you want to come, please write to me and we will go up there probably after Thanksgiving.
Yes, that'd be great.
Rand Marco, anything else you want to let our listeners know?
Well, if they have any questions about recycling or about trash issues with the business or anything in their homes or any concerns, please call us at 955-2200. That's the office number. Be patient with the girls because we're getting lots of calls every day, and not just about the new Save a Ton program, but all their issues within the city. And they'd be wonderfully glad to help you all out. If you need me, you can call the office and they'll transfer the call to me. And if you're a business and you need an audit of your trash, I'd be more than happy to come out and take a look and help you out, because we're here to save a ton.
Exactly. Randall Marco is Community Relations Specialist with the Solid Waste Division for the City of Santa Fe. Once again, the number is 505-955-2200. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And you can also just Google Santa Fe Recycling, and that will take you to the site.
SantaFeNM.gov/recycling.
Right, but if you forgot that, you can just find it by Google, as I did the other day.
Oh, great. And I'd like to give a pitch to the GreenLineSantaFe.com, Facebook at Save a Ton, and Twitter at Save a Ton.
Excellent.
So thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.